Wow, that one was great. That one really rocked. That's the prison prick. Prison prick track. That's right, Zom.
Just prick.
Just prick.
Pricked.
Prison pit should be called prick. That'd be good. Exclamation mark.
Marmion is going to reprint it for England and put it on the newsstands and just call it that.
So that was the end of side one. We're going to get over onto side two. And the opening track on side two is a Geordie little number that Dan Wright, Dan Wright, a.k.a. The Beast Must Die. What is it?
Thanks for that. Oh, side two, always a bit of a approach with intrepidation. That's where it could get a bit, you know. Augustine, I kind of came a bit late to it. I remember Jog mentioning it, and I remember looking at the first one and going, oh, I like that, but for some whimsical reason I didn't buy it. But then I bought all three of the other ones, 2, 3 and 4. It's a Image published full colour comic book about orcs, drawn by an insanely talented person called James. Written and drawn, doesn't matter. written and drawn by James Stokoe. He does it all and he colours it. There's no adverts. It's entirely.
And he lets us, he must be lettering it as well, but he just doesn't bother mentioning that on the inside.
It's basically sort of a tale of orcery, which I kind of want to get onto in a bit, but the first thing to say about it, it just is so beautiful. The colours are beautiful. It's drawn in this insanely detailed way. It's visually imaginative. It isn't just channeling like Dungeons and Dragons style imagery of fantasy. It's totally like there is like a Japanese thing going on. There's a kind of
Studio Ghibli.
There's like wobbly like European.
It's not just Lord of the Rings as well.
It's also graffiti,
skater art, hip hop sort of stuff. Yeah, I mean it's such a mishmash of different visual styles, and it's done in this way where it's not someone going, look what I'm doing. It's just there's a kind of lineage of like Paul Pope and obviously Brian Lee O'Malley and people like that, and this guy and other kind of comic creators who just make it work. They don't really make a big deal about it. They just go, yeah, it is all those things. So it's got a sort of a very personal doodly quality about it, but it's also it's just tremendous looking. It's so visually exciting,
highly detailed, and
yeah, I mean it's incredible. Just, you know, if you haven't seen the
baroque
imagery,
almost, I mean
if you haven't seen the imagery, you know, online, or if you haven't got the comics, then we'll put some scans up, but it's easy to just, but you need to, you know, and there's no adverts, and it's $3, which is, you know, cheaper than most, and to me it's just basically it's one of those comics you pick up and go, I want all my comics to be more like this.
Yeah.
And you know, I like the fact that it's pretty plotless. I mean, it's moving quite slowly because it feels like he's just kind of jamming it a bit. There is an overarching narrative. He might never finish it. I don't really care. It's just like it's really good, and it's really kind of creative. It's really exciting. Just looks brilliant. And it's all about fucking orcs, you know. And there should be more comics about orcs.
And what are the orcs like then?
They are orcish in the way that there's a real sort of focus on disgustingness, but in a kind of
it's all about penises, basically.
Yeah,
like
there's a real sort of bioorganic.
Oh, warlike.
There's a bioorganic kind of quality about all the weaponry and the sort of special.
Yeah.
And again, the upgrades, you know, the fact that they sort of upgrade and change and they have all these things. So there's a kind of, and it's weirdly like, you know, it doesn't feel overly set in the past, it just feels like it's set on a world of orcs. Mm. And that they are quite technologically advanced, but it's all very orc-like. So it's all like, you know, it's all sort of primitive and brutal. The way that they communicate is like stringing up bodies and channeling. I mean, you know,
and all of their,
it's all
of
orky
their food
and a
stuff.
Bit, it's just minging and yeah,
all of their food is alive.
Like a bug thing.
Things are alive, and there's always like eyes on their kind of the clothes they wear look like they're just animals, which maybe are still alive.
Yeah. Well, you know, it has a sort of atmosphere of maybe like Brian Froud and Labyrinth and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, definitely.
A little bit in you know, you get the feeling everything's busy with kind of aliveness and movement and creatures, and you know, things are slithering around, you know, out of the in the corners.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that struck me reading it was that it actually didn't feel like the past. It didn't feel like fantasy situated in some imagined past. It just feels like an orc world.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel, and I don't mean that, there's almost an implicit historical dimension in in a number of fancy old worlds. Like, if you look at a lot of stuff that Games Workshop does, for example, even with their Warhammer 40,000 stuff, there's a kind of medieval feeling about it. This doesn't feel medieval.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't feel like it's trying to do that at all.
Street-like and modern, it's good.
Yeah. But not. But again, not quite.
You know. Oh, I don't know. There's something
of that, but it's not simply trying to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I really feel at the moment like there's something going on with fantasy, and it is the really burgeoning genre.
It's the new weird.
It's been like that for, you know. I know you guys don't read playing Dungeons and Dragons with porn stars, but very much so there. Very much so, things like this refocus on fantasy and what it could mean, and how definitely. You can run it.
I do think that. I think it has a genre term. I think the new weird is the term for it. In that it's not the new weird is the idea of weird that isn't historically located in a way that it doesn't.
Is this something with, like? Is this different from new? Is this like new action?
No, the new weird is more a literary genre.
Okay.
But the idea is that Lovecraft was considered to be the weird moment in fiction.
Okay.
And what Lovecraft's horror wasn't a horror rooted in some kind of in something that we already knew. The whole point of Lovecraft's horror was it was definitely something that you didn't already know. Mirville has written a essay about it, which Bobsy linked us all to recently. When China sort of talks about how the squid is a great metaphor, embodiment of this sort of idea, because there's this particular kind of alienness of the squid, which doesn't feel ancient and doesn't feel form. It doesn't feel like it has a form. It's this kind of flexible strangeness, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway. New weird is something which will.
And do you think that's new weird? You haven't read Orcs, though.
I think it's akin to new weird. I don't know.
The thing is, I'm more interested, I think, in not necessarily located this with a new weird, just in the fact that I think there has been.
I just think the new weird sounds like some bullshit.
It is bullshit. So I don't think we should worry about it. I think we should talk more about what Amy Poodle was saying.
In this idea that basically fantasy, we all think we know it really, really well. Again, like, I'll give you another example. Basically, when I was trawling through Zach Sabbath's website playing Porn Stars, he does a post which is basically an image aggregator, and he says, these are a bunch of images which I have used as inspiration for his Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game. So, and suddenly, I was like, oh, I know cyberpunk, I know Road Warriors sort of stuff. I was like, oh, I don't. I haven't thought about that for fucking ages. Mm. And what he was doing was juxtaposing like images of like, you know, traditional cyberpunk stuff and sort of Road Warrior stuff with like blinged up looking cars and things like that. So I was like, oh, right, there's a new way of looking at this stuff now. You know, gold blinging samurai swords. And I'm really feeling Mario. He
talks about he has this idea of
in this
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game which he's playing this, which I think this does tie back to comics, of course. The original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle comic didn't have much of the quality of the cartoon. It was much more outlandish and serious. And although also humorous and ridiculous, but anyway, he in the game he talks about he has an idea for a sector called something like, oh god, it's like the Mario 3000 sector, not Mario, it's something, oh, the Cooper 3000 sector or something like that, and
it's Interzone Mario World 1000,
something like that. And he basically what he does when he writes about it is he marries it with Burroughs' idea of at least, you know, a kind of Burroughsian of Eastern world with weird magic mushrooms, you know, mutant mushrooms growing and allows you to reframe Mario through a psychedelic kind of goggles.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
and the idea of having to replay the same level again and again and again, that sort of thing, you know.
Well, there is definitely like it's Orcstone, I think, has that kind of computer game
Absolutely.
Savviness. It just feels like it's kind of in, yeah, it's got a lot of that kind of yeah, you know, the upgrades and the kind of the quest and the encounters.
It's becoming a lot more acceptable in all sorts of culture, isn't it? Like the there's plenty of film.
Incorporation of computer games. Stuff.
Yeah. Like the computer
the
game plot,
of people who
as seen in you know
computer games. Yeah. Beginning to make
Scott
things.
Pilgrim and consequently the film, and then like you know really sort of fetishized and
it felt so new, didn't it? Like when you're first reading Scott Pilgrim, you were like, all right, this is so obvious.
But,
like,
but you can like you can sort of like accept that it has a computer game. Something has a computer game plot now.
And it
doesn't really bother you like it used to.
Well, surely
it does.
It's just
like,
things you're familiar with, aren't they?
I
think that's...
There can't be that. There's not that many in the world.
I mean, I know there's people that like to be essentialist about plots, but personally, I think they're things you're familiar with. And,
that's a very good description of what plot is.
Yeah. And you know, once you get familiar with how computer games work, to some degree, you're going to be happy with seeing how some of those
This is the thing I found very, very exciting about Orkstein, and which I loved. I mean, I've only read 3 issues of it, but I thought it was, like, absolutely incredible. It's just this way of reframing fantasy. This thing that you think you know so well that's almost boring, because you know orcs, don't you? You know all that. It's like, they don't. Now look at this, you know? And to me, that's very exciting. You know?
It was,
gives me a real thrill.
One of the... I mean, I was kind of thinking a bit about talking about Orkstein, obviously not giving it too much thought, unfortunately, but it made me kind of, the world that I was reading about was kind of like, it did definitely trigger that kind of fantasy world.
Yeah,
fantasy. Where like part of the fun is just kind of finding out about it, and like, it's not continuity, boredom stuff, it's just like, finding out about the world. It's like exploring the world. And
you're
Orkstein, you're like, you're kind of, there's a story going on about this guy on you know, on some kind of chase, whatever. I mean, but it's always like you're always looking and going, oh right, in Orkland that's how they do that basic thing. And everything's kind of, so you're, I'm just really in the world, I just really enjoyed it. And so I know it's actually kind of slow moving, you know, it's not a huge amount's happened really, but it's just so busy and sort of interesting.
Busy in other ways.
It's also like a superhero in the way that it's like the comic, the computer game. The guy is basically just like your standard, he's got a really cool power, he can just do kind of whatever he needs to get out of a situation.
Yeah.
And it really does pay its props to the, what did I just say? To, just, you know, like a Spider-Man narrative as well. Do you know, it's like, it's probably like, you've got this cool guy, he's a hero, he can do this clever thing which nobody knows about.
There's a lot of kineticism as well as like all this obsessive, like, line, you know, really heavily detailed world building. It's like, it's really capable of like movement and energy. And big, like, that in issue four, I really like in issue four, this kind of battle.
I've read the first two. Battle in the swamp,
with, which I think is the best issue, this kind of. This potion.
I can't wait to read it.
Potion witch swamp ramba, he calls her. But basically, there's this kind of battle with two of these orc things. Because everyone's an orc, basically. Yeah. But these things are like. It's like something out of Miyazaki. They're after him, and they're kind of.
Those things are creepy, aren't they?
With their sort of hairy kind of bodies, and you can't see their. You just see their eyes and nose. Yeah. And basically, they attack, and you realise that they're not. Like the other orcs, they're like, they've got this awful kind of sudden sort of viral way that their bodies change, and you know, like their arms shoot out like really massively. It's like something out of manga, really, like how horrible bodies would just erupt with sudden violent
eruption,
movement.
That's part of
and so you've got these really organic kind of horrible attacking machines, and there's something mindless about them, like. She kind of poisons one of their tentacles and it erupts in all these filthy boils, which are really like luminous and brilliant looking. And it kind of, the whole body just kind of poxes up really quickly and then, you know, explodes. And that's like one of them's taken out. And you think, wow, she really fucked that thing up. And it was pretty scary. So, you know, but then its head later, it just, its body's exploded, but its head is still attacking. And it just comes up later and it just sort of. It just walks up and just looks up at her, and she realizes it starts to shake, and she realizes it's about to explode. So it's like, its body is just a continual. It's like the thing, It's like they're kind of weapons, and it's really cool. They're like, wow, those are really, they're really hardcore and scary. Yeah. What are they? who are they? And you don't know where they've come from. You know that they come from the big bad that's in this story. You know, they're the bad thing.
Okay. Well, they're from the...
But they're just like agents of... They're just... And so you've got this kind of... You've got this kind of lovable rogue orc who's your main guy. But these things are deadly, and he's definitely not yet capable of taking it down.
It's a comic that I found more like exciting the more I read it. Like, the first episode, I was like, meh, and I wasn't necessarily interested in reading it again. Then you said you were going to do this for the podcast, and I was like... by the time I finished the third one, I was like really hungry for the next one.
He's done that thing where I think he's produced a few issues before he got it on the stands, and so the first four came out pretty, and it's been a while, and I think it's because to be fair, he's doing an awful lot of work. He's drawing, he's inking, he's colouring, and just putting it out, the whole thing.
The pinks,
would take me about a year.
How much? I'd like to know how much was pre-drawn. He can't be. What regularity is this done?
It's been coming out relatively monthly,
Right.
Yeah.
Is it bi-monthly or?
Well, no. I mean, it's slowed down. But comes out when it the first, yeah. I mean,
yeah, yeah, I guess
basically,
so.
The way it works when you're not going to be making much money, which he isn't going to be making much money out of this. Is that he's getting it out there, but so if you get a bank of work and then get it out, the first few issues will come easy, and then Kieran Gillen said that that's what happened with Phonogram, and the fact that like they weren't getting any money from it meant that Jamie McKelvey had to like prioritise other jobs that were paying jobs, so I was like and that's why it came out like 3 months apart, because he's like I really they weren't making any money from it, and so the amount of work he must be putting in is quite, is quite amazing.
It's a book that I really want people to buy because I want it stands because I want to read it monthly. And I don't want to read most comics monthly. I really don't. I do want to read.
Yes.
I really, really do.
I mean, this
it basically makes me, it makes me happy reading that in a way that none of the other stuff, like, the writers like Jonathan Hickman and Matt Fraction, none of them.
Oh, yeah,
I'm not, not saying they've not got merits, but I just.
But compared to that.
Just reading something like this, just. Because I buy so infrequently, really, and few comics, like, I get annoyed if I buy one that I'm just like, that was a really substandard superhero story. Yeah. It's like, well, why did you buy it? You knew it would be.
Yeah.
And whereas
yeah.
this is like, no, this is a, a full-on treat, and, I enjoyed it thoroughly. But
I was put off. Yeah. I was put off by, initially. Oh, really? I didn't get it, because, although I'd heard lots of good things about it, just the orcs and the whole role-playing thing sort of put me off. But I read it, and I thought, oh, it's really cliched, isn't it? You know, there's this guy who has to... He can get into anything with a hammer, and, it's the thief thing, and there's this bear-like thing. You know, how many times have we seen the bear-like thing with the wooden... like window in its stomach and the bird that comes out of its head and then he has to take the bird out of the head. How many times have we seen that scene? It's ridiculous. I thought it was really good, and I've just image are amazing. Years and years and years of just having the whole Rob Liefeld thing in my head, and just image being this thing that I'm just not interested in.
Absolutely. I completely agree.
Even when Alan Moore was writing Spawn and Neil Gaiman and Dave Sims,
you still
and
think it's still basically
I still don't. It's
still
poo. But Image is doing so many great like sort of individual like creator owned things, like real like. People with a vision who want to tell individual and well conceived.
I don't think that's the only thing that sells this comic. I think it's a good comic. I worry that what we're giving off is this idea that you've got to read this because it's so idiosyncratic. But it is good.
Yeah,
It's very enjoyable.
But it was funny. Like, it did sort of. I basically went back and I got out my Fighting Fantasy, which was a British series of books, but I think they crossed over into
probably.
Anyway, there were a series of kind of what people call choose your own adventure. It's not. It was a Fighting Fantasy book. It was an adventure game book. It was a series of books set in a kind of coherent, world where things, other elements which are hugely popular amongst sort of most schoolboys I knew had a few Fighting Fantasy books.
Oh yeah.
Mm. And I had this thing my brother bought years and years ago called Out of the Pit,
which is basically
a Monsters Almanac
that was in our house too.
To the monsters of the Alancia, and Kakabad and all these places that, like, yeah. But basically, it's kind of it's an alphabetical listing of all these monsters with the description of their powers, their skill, stamina, you know, their habitat, and then a little rundown about them and a little drawing that's taken from the Fighting Fantasy books. And I've read this a lot more times than I've read any other book, I would say. I realised looking
secrets.
At it, the amount of hours I spent, because it was just endlessly fascinating. And yeah. I'd play the games and the books and I'd be like, oh, I fought that.
Yeah, I fought that one.
Yeah. Yeah, that was hardcore. And and other ones I'd be like, I wonder what book that's from.
Again, yeah. Right. I mean, you wouldn't fuck
and some of them, you know, like, some anyway, basically...
Like it's the official handbook of the Marvel Universe, then.
Hugely enjoyable sort of hour I had looking through here just to refresh my memory of it. Yeah, and it made me just think, fantasy, yes. I don't care, it's about time we have this. I don't care, I just want to read some fantasy comics.
Yeah, I want to read fantasy.
And there aren't just like sort of Conan retreads.
Yeah, you know, and I would like...
I suspect it's the right bullshit novelists kind of wank comics.
It's definitely a genre which is ripe for...
I don't like using the word punk, even though I did kind of describe this. But there is something, there could be something very punk about orcs. Yeah. I don't think Orcsbane is. I think it's more sort of, well, we've talked about what it's like. But I think, you know, you can imagine in early 2000 AD, in kind of late 70s, early 80s, there could have been a really good just nihilistic punk orc strip where all of the, you know, it's all set in orc world and everyone was like just and like someone like Kevin O'Neill or someone working on it, or just, you know, some of that real energy and gritty kind of Thatcherite pissed offness being channeled into, like, you know, and a bit of Fungus the Bogeyman in there. And like I always thought, it made me think, yeah, I wish there were more orc comics. Well, I mean, I wish there were as many orc comics as there were, like, Western comics. There should be more.
It might surprise you to hear, I suppose, but... Lactus. But, no, I am actually with you about this. I mean, I'm not interested in the traditional role-playing fantasy environment, but I am interested in something being done with that, basically. Because it's a rich scene.
Yeah.
It's a really rich scene.
Someone, what I would suggest that our listeners didn't, if they're at all interested in that, is go and look at Zach Sabbath's blog playing D&D Porn Stars, for sure. And there is at least one wicked series of fantasy novels which we do go on about a little bit amongst us.
Yeah, but that's
we're not starting to talk about that, though.
Well, we won't go there. Song by some fire folks.
Yeah, you're trying to go there, but we're not going there.
Why don't we at this point sidestep to our left and and agree that this is a great track.
Opening track to side two,
yeah.
It's challenging, it is out there, it's where we reveal our intentions for the second half of the album.
And how are you going to interpret this in your maracas playing?
I'll probably just give it some and then fade out.
Right.
Like I always do.
wicked. Yeah, it's hard work, isn't it?
It is. The markers is hard.
So, let's play it. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Aquaman, king of the seas.